I am a vagabond. I am a vagabond, and I go all over the world. And anywhere I go, I'm a vagabond. I'm a vagabond around the world. A vagabond, when rich, is called a tourist. This is Dr. Herbert L. Wiley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Capitol, California, with the thought for today's absolute philosopher. An absolute philosopher. A vagabond, when rich, is called a tourist. God, when young, is called a child. God, when older, is called an adult. God, when a woman, is called female. And God, when a male, is called a man. A vagabond, when rich, is called a tourist. See, there's always those little deciding factors in the use of words. What is vagabond? Vagabond is a person who travels the world without any purpose, without any reason, without any goals, without any learning experiences or anything. That's not his purpose for going. His purpose for going is just to go. And a vagabond's purpose for going is just to go. And a tourist's purpose for going is just to go. Do you think a tourist is going to Rome to see Rome? When they come back to Rome, what do? They show you pictures of Rome. They don't tell you what is in their mind and their heart of Rome. When a vagabond goes to Rome, what does he tell you about? He tells you about the people he met on the street. Mm-hmm. He tells you about the little dog that came running out, and he grabbed a hold of the dog and picked him up before he ran out and got run over by a car. And he was holding the dog and petting the dog and saying, "No, you shouldn't do that. Be a good little boy, you know." And then, "Ooh la la," came Miss Trela. And she says, "That's my dog. You saved his life. Thank you, thank you. What can I ever do for you?" He says, "Lady, I was just looking for a job." "You need me for anything?" "Oh, yes, I have all sorts of things you could do. Come, you could be my gardener." So, the vagabond can be her gardener, because the vagabond has no other demands on his time. He has no schedule. He has no place where he's expected to be. And you know what a vagabond does? Do you know what a vagabond does? He always arrives at the right place in the right time. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
A vagabond always arrives at the right place in the right time, because there's no time for him. There's no place for him. So wherever he goes, he's going there because he is going to find out what it is about that place that would make it charming and fun. Not that he's looking specifically for that. He's not looking specifically to meet the wonderful people who are indigenous there, perhaps that too. But he's not going there to look for an adventure. He's going there to be the adventure. And so when he picked up this little dog, he was not doing anything more than being loving to a dog. And when he said to this little dog, "You shouldn't run in the street like that. That's not healthy for little dogs." And the little dog licked his face and says, "You must be a nice guy. You understand me, you know." And so he reached in his pocket and he picked out a piece of month-old bread and he handed it to the dog. And the dog was chewing on the crust and saying, "Ooh, this is really good. This has all sorts of pocket tastes in it, and hand tastes in it, and tastes in it that came from everywhere under the sun. I don't know where they came from, but they sure taste good." And so the vagabond is a very winning personality. Not that he's a desirable or undesirable person. He just owes nothing to anybody except to be himself. Now, when a tourist can manage that attitude, then they'll be a real vagabond. When the tourists can go wherever they go and not say, "It's Tuesday, I'm in Rome. It's Wednesday, I'm in Paris," you know. And you see, when they don't say things like that, in fact, they don't even know what day it is, or what time it is, or what year, or what month it is, All they care about is they're wherever they are, and they're having fun being themselves. And you see, that's what a vagabond does. That's what a real human being does. That's what a divine being does. Do you think God is concerned with the watch or timetable? If anyone created the watch, it surely was not, quote, quote, God. It was just an illusion like illness. It's an illusion like limitation or need. It's an illusion of anything that's unfulfilled. And time is like that. Because every time, a timepiece is a terrible machine. Nobody should own a timepiece. Because what it does, it grabs second by second, second, gobble, 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 second, gobble, 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 second, and it eats it up and it's gone forever. Any clock eats up the seconds. Some eat up even the milliseconds, but they eat them up and it's gone forever. And you ask the clock to spit out those seconds that it's eating, and it won't do it.
No.
It won't do it. It hasn't even digested them. It's eating so many of them. You know, so many, many seconds, and it will not give it up. But you see, it's having fun. It's being itself. And the vagabond's having fun being itself. Now, when the tourist is having fun being themselves, that's great. If you go on a tour, you usually are told what to do by somebody, told where to go and how to do it, and that's no fun. You know, that's no fun. Because you don't see the real places, and not that you want to see the real places, don't ever get me on that. You don't really want to see the real places. You want to see the interesting places that are interesting to you. Now, would you say the Vatican is a real place? Phew, my goodness sakes, yes. Would you say that the Pope is a real person? Sure. Would you say that the Sphinx and the pyramids are real things, you know? My goodness. Well, so what? You ever been to the Sphinx and the pyramid? Wasn't that exciting? Oh, my goodness. Say, didn't it just rattle your bones and make you feel goosebumpy all over? Not really. When I went into the pyramid and we were in the king's chamber and we were into the sarcophagus was there, and what people did in the sarcophagus, they had to take a piss. So they pissed in the sarcophagus because, they didn't want to do it somewhere else. And there's nobody else around, but, you know, they had to go. And then people go and lay down in the sarcophagus because they want to have the feeling of being in the king's tomb, you know. Yeah. And they're laying in that urine and things like that. And so it has a very special smell to it. But, I took a group in there a couple times. And each time I took it in there, we did an om. And we surrounded the sarcophagus holding hands. One lady got in it. Berta got in there. Yeah. And she's a big lady. And she didn't get stuck. But she got in there. And she was so proud to get in the sarcophagus. And we were all standing around the outside doing an om. And I can imagine how she felt hearing the om in there and having us standing around. She probably didn't smell a thing. Now, that would be a good place for Edith Mary to go, because Edith Mary has no smeller. She has no, she cannot smell. And so, that's a good thing to do, you know, to go in places like in horse barns and stuff like that. But, you see, a vagabond is a person who truly finds those things. Now, what was Berta being when she climbed into the sarcophagus?
A vagabond.
She didn't care what anybody else said. She didn't care about anything. She just climbed in there and had a ball. I think one or two other people did it too. But it took a courageous person, because you knew what that smell was. And it wouldn't hurt you, but it was a little irritating. So, and you see, then we went out to the side of the pyramid, in the backside. And as we were out there, we were told that right there, and we saw a covered pavilion of some sort, where they had the ship, the boat, that the Pharaoh was supposed to take on his journey into the afterlife. And it was really quite charming to see it. Quite nice, quite well maintained by the sand that was over it, you know, and kept it true to form. But there we were being vagabonds. You see, a tourist walks by and says, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Click, 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 click. You know, and take a picture, take it back home to show people that you took it. And, of course, for me, I was just having too much fun. I was having too much fun. And I'll never forget the various groups of people who walked into the king's chamber. And as we were having our om or doing whatever we're doing, our giving us a lecture or something, and some walked in respectful, some walked in blatant and noisy, some walked in totally disrespectful of what was going on, you know.
Most were respectful.
Most were respectful. The Germans were the only ones that weren't respectful. They were the noisy and inconsiderate ones. I don't know if there's a group of Americans there, but if the group of Americans were there, they surely were the most respectful of all.
Yeah.
But can you imagine the difference between a vagabond and a tourist? They're the same thing.
He's a vagabond.
Yeah. But a vagabond, in fact, is a being who is getting the most out of every moment of life, enjoying every moment of life. If something comes up that disturbs them, that makes them feel they're not doing something, they say, so what? So what? And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So think on these things. A vagabond, when rich, is called a tourist. A tourist, when untroubled by the cares of the world and travels the world, is called a vagabond. You know, a vagabond can be very wealthy, but he doesn't need it. He just enjoys being himself and having lots of fun. I say, hurrah for the vagabond. So today, let's all put on our vagabond outfit and go out and vagabond it around. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Bye.